I know that you do, but I'm just asking. Does anybody here remember the David Letterman show? You kind of remember that? Yeah. You know, one of the things he did that I always thought was kind of fun and didn't really always make such profound difference in anything, but it's kind of fun, was his top 10. You know? So I'm going to give you the top 10 things you need to know about your new pastor. Okay? Top 10 things you need to know about your new pastor. Number 10. There really are only two kinds of pie, hot and cold, and your pastor loves them both. Number 9, your pastor was a candidate for the State House of Representatives and declared the winner by KTV, but ended up losing by less than 1% of the vote. True story. Number 8, your pastor really is a Minnesota Vikings fan, even though they've lost 4 Super Bowls. I've watched them all. Been in therapy ever since. Number 7, your pastor does know how to sew, and he made a dress and several skirts for his wife and his mother. Number 6, your pastor would sit at home and read encyclopedias and theology books while other teenagers were going out having fun. Yes, I really am that geek. Number 5, your pastor's first job was as a dishwasher in a Mexican restaurant. Number 4, your pastor really is a chef, and here's the picture to prove it. That is Daryl Strawberry, the great New York Yankee, and that's me as I was cooking gourmet omelets for him. Number 3, your pastor used to do community theater and even dressed in a kilt once. Number 2, your pastor really did sing to his wife at their wedding. And the number 1 thing you need to know about your pastor, as much as he loves being a pastor, your pastor really loves being a husband and a father, most of all. So, 10 things you need to know about me, but maybe we're afraid to ask. There's a whole lot of conversation starters in there, but we won't do that right now. But feel free to ask me anytime. I love talking about those things. But I seriously, on a serious note, want to bring to you my first message. There is on those cards that you have, some sermon notes that will follow along. But there's also that YouVersion app. I hope you're navigating that. Those of you who know how to find that, and that will be there for you throughout the week to kind of go back and look at some things. But I want to welcome you to this new series that I'm going to be preaching for the next 6 weeks from the book of 1 John. There are 5 chapters in this, but I'm kind of counting this first one as kind of an introduction, if you will. We're going to look at some very important thoughts in that first chapter. But I want you to know that 1 John is one of those books. It's literally my favorite book of the Bible. Okay, you can read this book in about 15 minutes if you sit down to just read it. And I want to challenge you with something this week. I want to challenge everybody here. I want you to sit down, quiet time, every day, and read the book of 1 John. Not just the first chapter. Read the whole book, if you will take that challenge, for 30 days. Here's what's going to happen. It's going to change your life. I took that challenge a number of years ago. And what I began to find was that in this book, you have the whole gospel. You know, if something happened and our Bibles were taken away or whatever, and there was only this little book, these 5 chapters, we would have all that we need to know about who God is, how much He loves us, who Jesus is, what He's done for us, and what His plan for our lives are. That is so powerful in this little book. So John was writing this towards the latter part of his life. And he was writing it because he had 2 overarching purposes. He really wanted, he wanted the people to understand, his readers to understand. He wanted to reassure his readers that they had eternal life. And he also wanted them to know that they could know Jesus personally. You see, because here's the challenge. In the time John was writing this book, there were lots of, shall we just call them, lies being told about who Jesus was. It didn't take long, towards the end of the first century, after the church was maybe 30, 40 years in existence, there are all kinds of wild teachings about who Jesus was, who he wasn't, what they thought. And one of the most toughest ones that people had to deal with was these things became known as heresies. Now, heresy is just a fancy theological word that means wrong teaching, okay? These heresies. And one of the first ones that they had to find, that they had to deal with, and John is writing about this, he's writing to counteract this, is a heresy known as Gnosticism. Now, Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis. And it literally means knowledge. Well, the Gnostics, you see, they began to develop a way of thinking of Jesus and the salvation in Jesus as a special secret knowledge. And if you had it, you were saved. But if you didn't have this special secret knowledge, you were not part of the saved, not part of the elect, if you will. And you see, from there, they also developed this wrong teaching, this heresy, because it comes from the Greek-centered way of thinking. They began to develop this thought that the physical world really wasn't that good. The physical world didn't matter. What mattered was your mind. What did you think? As long as you thought right, you're okay. And so this began to devalue the human body, the human life. And crept into this was all kinds of immoral teachings. So right here in the Christian church of the first century, there were all kinds of immoral teachings creeping in. There were little secret groups that thought they were the ones who were saved. We had all kinds of heresies going on. And John writes this book because he wants to give these two overarching purposes and gifts to the people of God. He wants them to know for sure that they, his readers, have eternal life. If we believe in Jesus Christ, savingly believe in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. And then he goes on to say that they can know him personally. Now, the next five weeks, we're going to flesh out why those are true from this book, but I just want to give you those as kind of the overall purposes. Now, to introduce God, his first purpose in this first chapter is to introduce God. So if you have a Bible with you, I want you to look with me at 1 John chapter 1. And if you don't have one with you, there should be one on the back of the pew. Now, I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible. I think the ESV Bible on the back of your pew is a great Bible, so feel free to use that. I will preach a lot from the New American Standard because this Bible was the Bible that I carried down the aisle at Rhonda and I's wedding. And it looks brand new because it was a gift to me last few months ago. Some supporters of my ministry took this and had it rebound because I had it duct taped together and everything. And it was all chewed up, the leather. But it's got all my favorite notes in here and the margins and everything. So I will use this a lot of times to preach from. It's got a very special meaning to me. I love the English Standard Version that you have there. And whatever version you have, it's God's word, okay? God's truth will go forth. But let me read just the first five or six verses for you. So hear John's heart as he introduces who Jesus is. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Would you pray with me? Father God, in the next few minutes, would you open our hearts to your Holy Spirit, to what you would say to us through this word, through Jesus Christ. Amen. So John, one of his main purposes, he tells you right there, and he says it in verse 5, this is the message. The great apostle John, you know, the one who was closest to Jesus, they say, he says this is the message. The whole message is God is light. And so we're going to get first things first this year, and I've called this series the first things first because I want us to take each week the main points that John is bringing to us about who God is and who we are. And let us understand that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. You see, as the source of light, true light, God reveals himself to us, and he shows us the way to live by exposing our sins in our hearts and minds. He exposes our sin and calls us to repentance. This very chapter ends with the thought of confession of our sins. When we come into the light that is Jesus, the true uncreated light of the world, we cannot help but realize our sinfulness. And here's the beauty. John is teaching the people that if we walk in the light, as Jesus is the light, we have fellowship with one another. That means fellowship with Jesus and fellowship with each other. But it's all because of the light. The light that cannot be put out. You know, we were talking to the kids a little bit ago about the light that just shines in no matter how dark things get. That is God. That is Jesus Christ. The light that cannot be put out. When you go back into the letter that John wrote, the gospel, the first chapter of John, you hear him talking about the light that was coming into the world, and the world did not comprehend it. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you comprehend the light that is in this very place right now? The light of God's Holy Spirit that is opening this word to us. But let me ask another question. What is darkness? Before we go too far down the road of light, let's think about what is darkness. What is darkness?
Absence of light.
Absence of light. Okay. And where there is no light, as we talked about with the kids, it is pitch black. It's pitch black. But I want you to hear something. I want you to hear this morning that darkness is not just the absence of light. It is the absence of light. In a very real, physical, tangible way. But it's not just that, the absence of light. It's also a powerful force that opposes God and his purposes. At work in our world is a powerful force that opposes God and all of his purposes. And guess what the Bible teaches us? The Bible teaches us that that force, that's evil, that is led by Satan, that force masquerades, the Apostle Paul says, as an angel of light. An angel of light. So what I'm telling you is that even in churches, even in gatherings, even in places where we think everything is good and everything is light, there could be evil masquerading as light. But John wants us to hear something. There is only one true light, and that true light will outshine any darkness. Evil will never conquer good. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God's goodness has prevailed on the cross of Jesus Christ. The battle's already been won. We just need to step into the light as he is in the light. And then walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus. And then we begin to walk and talk with one another. And we have fellowship in the light that is Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual reality. This darkness is a spiritual reality in our world, and we dare not take it for granted. It can affect us. It's not, see, here's the truth. It's not just out there. The Bible tells us that darkness has many forms. the manifestations. It can be seen in false teachers and lies, like we've talked about. It can be seen in rebellion and disobedience against God's command. It can be seen in hatred and violence and the harm of our neighbors. It can be seen in greed and lust and the love of the world more than God. It can be seen in the pride and the hypocrisy of those who claim to know God but yet do not walk in the light and according to His will. You see, darkness is not only out there. Darkness, if we're not careful, is in here. It can even be in our hearts. I hope I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I hope we're all on top. We're all filled with God's Holy Spirit. That we're all walking in the light as He is in the light. But let me set first things first. The truth is, we all have a sinful nature. We're born into this world with the ability to sin, with the temptation to sin. And we're living in a culture right now that tends to dumb down sin and doesn't even call sin sin anymore. First things first, there is sin to be avoided, there is a hell to be avoided, there is a heaven to be gained, and there is a life to be lived in Christ. And I want to call us into that glorious light. But we can only walk in that light by confessing our sins to God and receiving His forgiveness through Jesus Christ. The Christian life truly is about obeying Jesus' word, following His example, loving Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving one another as He loves us. See, this is the truth about God. God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. And He's inviting us into that fellowship. So at the bottom of your notes, and every week there will always be a chance for you to respond to God's word. But at the bottom of your notes, there's two places you can check. You can check if the Holy Spirit is showing you that there is maybe some unconfessed sin in your life that you need to repent, you feel His Spirit convicting you of that, then check that box. And if you don't want to check it in front of your neighbor, just check it in your mind. And know that the Holy Spirit of God is here to help you with whatever you are going through, with whatever temptations are prevailing upon you, and with whatever it is that you may feel like a failure from. I want you to know something. God loves you no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you go. God loves you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's Paul's word to us in the 8th chapter of Romans. Nothing can separate us from His love. But He doesn't want us to walk and live in sin. He wants us to walk and live in Him, which means in holiness, which means in truth. That's the power. That's the power of the Wesleyan revival of the Church of England in the 1700s that spread throughout the world, is the power of the Methodist movement of which we stand in today, a renewal movement. The Global Methodist Church is a renewal movement of Methodism, of the moving of the Holy Spirit, of the call to live holy lives. Maybe you can say, glory, hallelujah, you can check and say, I'm not aware of any sin in my life right now. And I wish to grow in God's grace, to continue to live in His sanctifying grace, helping me to avoid sin in my life. See, that's the power of the Wesleyan message. We believe that through the power of God's Holy Spirit indwelling within us, we can rise above sin. It's not easy. We might even fall from time to time, but thanks be to God. We'll cover that next week in chapter 2. We're going to cover this, what happens when we do fall. Okay, because God is with us no matter what, no matter where we go. In just a few moments, we are going to come to the Lord's table. I'm going to pray some prayers of consecration. For me, there's another thing you need to know about your pastor. For me, this is the holiest, most special thing that we do as believers in Christ. And I want you to hear that this table of the Lord is not the Goddard Church table. It's not even a Methodist table. It's Jesus' table. It's the Lord's table. So if anyone is here this morning, maybe you're a guest this morning and you're kind of wondering what some of this is all about, you're welcome at His table if you believe in Jesus. Just hear His Holy Spirit today. Humbly confess your sin to Him, and He will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Would you pray with me? Father God, as we come to this holy table, prepare our hearts. I pray that You would shine Your light upon us, each one of us. Let us not take anything for granted, but let us hear Your Holy Spirit, either convicting us to repent in this very moment, to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've done that have been less than You have called me to do, that You have empowered me to be. Or to say, I love You, Lord. Come, fill Your lamb, fill Your sheep, fill us to overflowing. We ask this all now in the strong name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen, amen. As we prepare the Lord's table, I want to just call you to actually share. I've taken some of our traditional Methodist liturgy and have actually abbreviated it just a little for the sake of our service and time. And I want to invite you into this worship with me. As a pastor, there's nothing more special that I do than to consecrate the bread and wine of Holy Communion. And I want you to join me in those consecration prayers. So let's begin with the great thanksgiving. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for You formed us in Your image. You breathed into us the breath of life. And when we turned away and our love failed, You remained steadfast. And so on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, He took some bread. And He gave thanks to You, and He broke that bread, and He gave it to His disciples, and said to them, take this, all of you, and eat from it. For this is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And when the supper was over, He took a cup, and again He gave you thanks and praise. And then He gave it to His disciples, and He said to them, drink from this, all of you, for this is My blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. And so it is, in remembrance of these Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, that we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Dying, You destroyed our death. Rising, You restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Pour out Your gifts on us who are gathered here and upon these gifts, and to make them the bread and wine, that they may be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in Your holy church, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Happy are all those who are called to His supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive You, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. I'm going to ask our communion servers to come and to help me prepare the serving. And I want us to step over and serve the musicians, our praise team, first of all.
And then as we come forward, I will have the cup of, come forward, servers, when you're ready. I will have the cup of, with the gluten-free and the juice together, the prepared cups in the middle. If you need gluten-free, then I would invite you to come see me at the middle with that. And then let's serve, if you would, Kevin. Serve the musicians first. Here's a cup for you. Come. There you go. Musicians first. Here you go. Thank you, guys. Thanks. I'll let you come take your place here. I also want you to know that during this time of Holy Communion, the scripture says that by his stripes we are healed. And I want you to know that if it's anything on your heart that you want to really pray for or perhaps seek his healing, I have a bottle of anointing oil here, and I would be privileged to pray over you. I will have the gluten-free right here, but if you come to see me for anointing, I would be glad to do that for you as well. You may come as you are ready.
Oh.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you feed us with these holy mysteries. Thank you for giving your Son not only to die for us, but to give us the power to live lives that are holy, pleasing to you. Fill us with new life in this beautiful moment. Thank you for bringing us together as your church, as your body. We ask your richest and deepest blessings upon us all in this moment. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want you to know it has been a true privilege to be your pastor today as the first day in the pulpit and leading you, and as many days as God will give us together, I pray. So thank you. And my door is always open as your pastor. Please come by and see me, and I look forward over time to get to know you. But I do want to offer you a blessing, a benediction, as we close our service. This is a benediction that I didn't write, but it was given to me. It was prayed over me for many years. And I found power in it. And I believed God has given it to me to pray over you. So I would ask you if you're able to stand and receive the benediction of the Lord this morning. My brothers and sisters, do not pray for easy lives, but rather pray to be strong men and women. Do not pray for a task equal to your power, but pray for power that is equal to your task. And you will constantly be amazed at all that you can do through the power of the living Christ within you. For your work will not be the miracle, but you will be the miracle. And now unto him be all majesty, glory, power, and dominion, and his greatest, richest blessings upon you all, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Go in peace.